Token Smart Podcast. How's your energy? How's your vibe? I am Sandy Meows, back again with my dudes Trislet and Rizzle. Shout out to Easy and his listening party. Happy Monday for all the ladies and gentlemen out there. We are about 6 days away from Valentine's Day. Get your gifts of love ready. Don't say we didn't warn you. It's the year 2021, the year when celebrities and big names now are waking up to crypto and the NFT space. This morning, Tesla bought $1.5 billion worth of BTC, making the price rise to a historic $44,000. The whole market is pumping. Ethereum is at $1,700. But you know what else is high? Gas. Gas is high right now, and it's driving all of us crazy. We're here to talk about it all. And how are you guys?
Dude, I love that we get like general warnings about like holidays mixed in with like crypto stuff. It's like, I could use one like around Mother's Day too. I feel like that one already always sneaks up on me. I'm like, oh my God, I gotta go get a gift. Yo, this is great.
This is perfect. We're trying to save relationships here.
Yeah. And we can talk about what we're cooking up a little bit later at the week for, we're going to do a little Valentine's Day event. That's still a little bit fuzzy in terms of what it will actually entail, but I think we're going to force some metaverse matches.
Wow. Yes. That's all right. You can tell a lot of love is going to go around. It's good.
Yes. It's good.
Dude, I was feeling the love this weekend, right? Like Sandy said, I got retweeted by Terry Crews. I feel like a 14-year-old or something getting so excited about something like that. I was like, oh my God, Terry Crews retweeted me. But it is cool, right? I mean, it's like, you know, all of these people have been sort of like circling the waters of crypto and dude, everything, right? There's like a Rolling Stone article about NFTs. CoinDesk wrote about NFTs. Mark Cuban's like essentially making trash art of himself and like selling it now. So it's like, this is getting wild, man. I feel like I could almost like throw a rock out of my window and hit like a billionaire or a celeb that's like sniffing around the NFT and crypto space right now.
That's great. Maybe they are sniffing around, right? They got too near you. It's like, hey, I'm not selling out. There's Rizzle, right? So it's rock to billionaires chasing them back, chasing them away with a broom.
Oh man, the day when we get them into the podcast, we get them into the whip, they're gonna be like, man, we should have known about this sooner. So,
well, it's not like we've been quiet about it.
I mean, we've been inviting them, so
that's right. I mean, it's so crazy like how much has changed even in like the past year. I was like having flashbacks over the weekend and I was like, man, it was like almost a year ago right now. I was getting ready to go to NFT NYC and it was like the first time I met Trislet, and then was like thinking back about the whip then. I'm like, dude, it was like a free for all, like even just like not even a year ago. Like we were dishing out, you know, triple digit wearables every single week at the whip. We had to bring Easy on board to help out. It would cost us like a couple bucks to send out like crazy stuff to everyone, sharks and like lizards and like all this awesome stuff Pandex made us. And it was, and it's funny, man. I mean, you mentioned the gas like right in the very beginning, Sandy, and that's like really how we sort of ended up, you know, having to continuously pivot until we got to this point with like the whip coin and then dropping that and letting people sort of get their own wearables. And it's just amazing how much has changed in the course of a year. And you know, like Trisha was saying, it's not like we've been quiet about it. We like all these people could have stumbled upon us a year ago and we were doing the same thing with even more like freedom due to like costs and, you know, everything like that. We were just able to make it rain on people. I mean, we had like Fabiano and Spherical Art and Clay Cow making, you know, minting pieces of art that were exclusively for the whip and distributing those to everyone. It costs like $100 to like send a piece of art to somebody right now. It's just like so, so crazy. So I don't know, man. I mean, how does this like plan out? We got all these people flooding the space. Tesla buys $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin. I feel like the gas prices don't get any better, right? I mean, we're still sort of like handcuffed.
It's interesting because it's a double-edged sword. I see that on because the big Twitter thing, you know, everybody's like, you know, well, does, you know, Ethereum's going to crash, obviously, because gas prices are so high. And I'm like, gas prices are high because people are using it. Yeah. You know, I'm like, that's how the system works, you know? So it's not surprising. at all. And all these, I love, because this, it's when the price starts going up, people start complaining about that. You start seeing all kinds of other, either fudsters or, you know, guys coming in talking about side chains. And they're like, or not side chains, because I like side chains, but it's more like other chains. They're like, well, this is the Ethereum killer because it's so cheap to transfer. And it's like, well, it's because, you know, it's only got $1 million worth of volume on it right now. It's like, let's see what happens when you get $100 billion worth of volume traveling through every couple seconds. Right. Yeah. You still think transaction fees will be cheap and it'll still be fast. We'll see. Right. If it ever gets to that point.
Well, dude, what do you think happens? And I don't know. I don't have the technical chops to like really even make a educated guess, because, you know, we've mentioned before, I'm like, this is, you know, Bitcoin all over again, in the sense that it was originally like intended for everyday transactions. That became impractical. Now it's like rebranded to digital gold and, you know, not necessarily intended for everyday transactions. Here we are with Ethereum with the same situation. The transaction fees are like going through the roof. It's not tenable for like, you know, going and getting a cup of coffee or, you know, buying a snack or something now. So like, how does this shake out in terms of like the Ethereum ecosystem? And do we all just end up on some sort of like layer two solution, or eventually that's like sort of seamlessly like rolled into it? I'm from like the old school Bitcoin days myself. And I feel like as soon as it started happening, like Lightning Network was like the answer to all the things. And I haven't seen shit in like 5 years or 6 years, like, you know, in terms of like an actual solution.
Well, you know, I liked it because yeah, we've been around for a while, and you know, I remember seeing all these things. It's history repeating itself. Like, I really feel like that's one of the reasons why Doge's going so big. It's the same thing. You know, you got tons of new people don't really understand it, you know, but they've seen a lot about it and they want to learn. So they come in and then they start seeing, it's like, well, this one is going to cost me $40,000 for one. This one's going to cost me $1,700 for one. This one cost me one penny for one. I think I'm going to go for that. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, so that's the same thing. I remember years ago when like Ethereum was trading for, you know, I think when I started doing it maybe in 2015, 2016, and Ethereum was like $8 a piece. Yep. And I remember at the time, because I don't remember what Bitcoin was, but Bitcoin was definitely pretty damn high up there. I remember being like, well, I don't have an extra $1,000 or $2,000 to just throw at something I don't understand, but I do have $8, you know.
Yeah, like, it's true.
So, I mean, I remember being in that same thing, you know, and then that's right. It's, I don't know. I feel like the Doge stuff is interesting because it's like, you can see it getting pumped and dumped, and there's a bunch of people who made tons of money, which great, good for them. They've been holding for years. Right. But it's not the same thing as like, I keep seeing people coming out and saying like, oh, Cardano will be the Ethereum killer, or this will be the Ethereum killer. You know, it's like, that doesn't mean it's going to kill Ethereum. It means Ethereum might change use cases. Right. Or I don't know. I'm still, Ethereum 2.0 might be really interesting, but I'm seeing a lot of FUD about that too. Right. And people are like, oh, well, it's less secure because it's proof of stake instead of proof of work. And I guess, you know, maybe it's, I don't know, it's hard to say. It's like, it might be less secure in some ways, right? Maybe, I don't know, it's hard for me to decipher that. But I'm like, if it brings transaction costs down, that'd be great. Actually, the latest thing I've seen is people are like, well, you could go back to Ethereum Classic because that's still going to be proof of work. I'm like, yeah, but that's got the negative connotation of the DAO hack, right? And it's never gotten over it either, I feel like. So I don't know. It's crazy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I just, you know, I'm back to like, you know, how it was just so much fun. Like, you know, not even a year ago when gas prices are so low that you can saturate the market with your junk basically for free. I know we had Cloud White on, and you know, OpenSea sort of opened the floodgates, I guess, for people to be able to mint things for free. And I'm not entirely sure how it works, but you know, that's the double-edged sword. When gas prices cost almost nothing, you just get everybody flooding the blockchain and minting things and everything like that. And while that has its drawbacks, it was so much fun, man, to just be able to like make it rain crypto art on people or make it rain wearables. And, you know, for a long time, it seemed like we were the only people in Crypto Voxels, and we basically dressed the entire community through the whip, you know, in the early half of 2020 last year. And I don't know, man. It's a shame. You know, I feel like us as a community have a lot of fun together, but, you know, the freedom to be able to do those things, it just seems like we're going to look back on it as like, you know, those were like the good old days. And now we have to deal with all these like tragic transaction fees or like migrating to a layer two or a blockchain. And, you know, when we went to the casino the other week, Sandy was with me, and I don't know if she gave up or wasn't able to figure it out, or it was just like one too many steps. But, you know, in order to play at the casino in Decentraland with Frankie and them, you got to transfer your shit to Matic. And it's a really janky process, honestly. It's like not seamless at all. It like literally required me watching like Frankie's tutorial video that he had posted. I don't think he actually made it. It might have been Baus or one of these guys, Bitcoin Louie. And it was a great like video and everything, but I'm like, this is bad for like it's bad for crypto, man. Like nobody wants to do, there's like enough steps just getting it into your wallet, let alone like shuffling it around to go to the casino, only to have to like shuffle it back out at the end with like less of a balance after you blew it gambling stupidly and then got to pay the gas price to get it back out again. I'm like, this sucks.
Yeah. Well, there's a couple solutions that like, I keep hearing different things about, like, I think Scott from Portis talked to me a little bit about one of the things they do is they have some sort of obfuscation layer that, like, if you're interacting with a Matic-based thing, then it just does the transaction in the background without, you know, without you having to jump between chains, I guess. So that I feel like there's some solutions out there, but we need more people to implement them, maybe. So I like most things, right? I feel like we have a lot of the solutions for these things already. It's going to take people jumping on it and actually doing something with them to make it apparent. So I mean, I feel like all I hear right now is, you know, yeah, Musk getting on, you know, buying a bunch of Bitcoins or the price going up. I'm like, and that's where the conversation ends, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's cool because it's exciting and interesting. But when you're trying to do the technology stack in the back end, you're like, well, there's, you know, some of the stuff people are complaining about, we already have solutions apparently. But even I don't, you know, it's like, I mean, I'm in there every day playing with it. And even I'm like learning about these solutions that apparently have been out for a long time. So we've talked about that before, haven't we? It's a marketing issue, I think. It's
yeah,
a user engagement issue. It's not a technology issue. We've got some seriously talented techs in the space. Like every time I talk to these guys, I'm like, holy crap, you're smart. You know, like you guys are crazy. So it's like, why isn't this stuff selling off the shelves? It's because we don't have that much. We don't have that side of it nailed down.
Dude, I feel like the smart people almost makes it worse because they come in with like a level of understanding and like assume that a lot of other people do. And I'm like, this shit is not like straightforward at all. It's actually like really complicated. I saw OpenSea's incorporating some sort of Matic layer. Sandy, what's your experience been? I know you were obviously like in the casino with me. Have you like messed around with like a lot of layer two stuff, or like what's your like general take on it all?
No, I haven't yet. And even for me, I don't know if it was a combination of, you know, me streaming the event too, and then unable to pay attention to the video just because two different sounds going on at the same time. But there has to be something where it's just user friendly. I agree with Trislet. There's so many smart techs out there who have that information. And you know what it is? They're not in Token Smart.
I don't think
right. That must be what it is. Dude, who's gonna be the first like big time celeb to like hang out with us in our Discord? I feel like we're so close. I don't know if it's one of these guys who are already in the space. I feel like every couple days I read something about Mark Cuban and he's dug like a little bit deeper. He did something with like SushiSwap or something, or was like talking about them, and I'm like, all right, we're one level closer. And you know, it's honestly also a reminder of like how niche our area still is. I'm like, you know, we all know that NFTs are like this really revolutionary technology that extends in like so many different capacities. And it's just amazing like how deep in the crypto space we're actually buried for people who are making their way in from the outside. Mark Cuban is actually very, very close. Elon Musk, I feel like, is still like in grandparent territory, like one step beyond that. They're like, okay, I understand Bitcoin. I bought the Bitcoin.
What do I do now?
Right. Now I will accept Bitcoin for cars. All right. I mean, we're getting there.
Cybertruck.
Oh, that's exactly. That's a good call. Yeah, Jimmy, next Christmas, sir. And the NFT 42 gifts. Teslas.
Yes, we all get Teslas. All the contractors get flamethrowers. It'll be the greatest Christmas ever. No, but seriously, though, I mean, I feel like, you know, I feel like anytime this happens to one of these niche spaces, right, it's gonna get like gentrified. This is like the hipster neighborhood that's like really cool and like up and coming that we all like got in on early when the housing prices were like affordable and we made it this really cool neighborhood. And now like big corporate is gonna come in and like McDonald's this thing, and it's going to be sad. I hope it like lives on in like some capacity, and maybe just due to the nature of like the creatives in the NFT space now, like it's impossible for it not to live on. But I don't know. It's crazy. I feel like we all knew we were going to get to this point, but now it's like, damn, dude, $1.5 billion worth of Bitcoin.
I kind of feel like, well, not the whole space, but the NFT 42 crowd, like the stuff we're doing with this, you know, specifically our Infinity Tokens platform and things, like we're trying to, you know, take what we know and trying to put it in the hands of artists to allow them to do more white label stuff, you know, and make it like give them functionality that, you know, the biggest difference is now that we're dealing with financial systems. I'm like, because I was doing web development, you know, during the .com bubble, and everybody was just, you know, you could throw up anything you want, people would buy it because it was crazy and nobody really understood what was happening. But at the time, there was a lot of big players came in with a lot of money and bought up all the talent. But now I'm like, now the talent has their own big money, right? Because the whole point is we're really dealing with Bitcoin. So maybe like this, I feel like this has the potential to be totally different, where it's not people selling out because they've already got plenty of money. They don't have to, right? To pay their bills. Now we're working in a system that it's going to allow, if people don't want to, they don't have to, it's not going to be forced on them. So I'm more optimistic that I think the outcome is going to be less of the FANG thing, you know, eventually come in where you've got Apple, Facebook and Google, like to basically just, if you're not part of them, then you're nobody in a way, you know, it's going to be much more distributed, I think. So I'm more excited for this. For like this that, evolution man. Than I ever was for the past ones.
Dude. Trisla, you mentioned Infinity Tokens. Do you have any more news surrounding that?
Yeah, we're working with Frankie Aguilera for some of our UI stuff. He's really talented. He's got some cool stuff. I don't know if you've looked at any of his projects before, but yeah, I'm really
Frankie Nines, right? Same guy.
Yeah. Well, wait. Is it the same guy? Yeah.
Not to be confused with Frankie Needles. Nines. Yeah.
That's right. I was thinking Frankie Needles. I'm like, no, wait a minute. Those are two guys. Those are two different guys. Nope, you're right. Yeah.
Separately cool Frankies.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I'm like, God, I'm getting my Frankies mixed up. See what you did? But but yeah, he's a cool guy and he's got some really amazing ideas. I'm excited to get more. We had a meeting this morning about laying out user path, onboarding path, and user direction for final site design. So I'm really excited to see what we can take in our Infinity Tokens launch. I mean, the back end tech is slowly coming together. You know, we launched JoyToy and the functionality is there. Now we're trying to get it in the factory format so that anybody can spin up something similar and use the same functionality. I'm really excited to see where that goes, because with Frankie on board, I think it's going to be much less me explaining to people what they're doing, which I felt like started happening. And it's going to be, it's just like, I'm going to be a floodgate where we can open it up for artists to come in and do what they want.
What's the timeline, man? Do you have any like rough timeline that you're targeting?
Yeah, rough timeline is like mid to end March.
Okay.
We're supposed to have, you know, hopefully a V1 launch. I don't know if we haven't decided if it's going to be, you know, maybe like a select group and beta testing, you know, beforehand, or if it's just going to be open the floodgates. I think probably it'd be safer to do a targeted smaller group, but you know, whatever, we don't play it safe, right? What do they say? Just do it live.
Yeah. Just let it rip. That's basically how we roll.
No, yeah. It's cool stuff. We've got a lot more project management stuff. We've got a lot more, you know, as you said, it is funny because I remember a year ago, it was much more fly by the seat of your pants. We just, you know, shit broke. It's like, yeah, whatever. It's like, just work around it or whatever. But it's, so we're definitely getting more into the place where it feels more like a legit business, where we've got to make sure we get on board the policy enforcement and make sure that we're following the same path each time so we can replicate it with the same precision each time. So, which, it, I mean, the whip and the whole Token Smart stuff has started to take on some of that too, right? It's helped because we have, I feel like we have a whole lot less blow-ups than we ever used to. You know, things just seem to fly pretty well for our base stuff, right?
Dude, 100%. I mean, part of me will always, like, you know, reminisce fondly about those days, but I definitely don't miss like the days of like all the audio crashing and me just like sweating through my shirt because I, like, you know, we got five speakers standing up on stage. Nobody has any idea what's going on. Nobody can hear each other. You know, honestly, if we didn't break everything over and over again, we wouldn't be at the point we are now. I mean, we certainly like earned our stripes or like sharpened our teeth or whatever you want to call it. But you know, this part leading up to this point has always been like the most fun part to me, right? Where we just have like creative freedom and the liberty to just fuck around and, you know, try new things. And honestly, Trizzle, what you were just saying earlier gives me a lot of hope. And I think there's a lot of truth to what you're saying, because I really, really, that's what I love about this space. I really don't want it to get McDonald's. I really don't want it to be like, you know, packaged up nicely and like gentrified for the public and lose like the weirdness and like the, you know, the spirit of experimentation and all that that has brought us to this point. And maybe it won't, man, because, you know, I feel like I'm one of these people who, like, I don't know, man, this may sound like trite. I guess everybody has their like price tag, right? But I feel like in general, I'm like pretty much down for the cause. Like, you know, I want to do what I'm doing now. I don't really want to do anything different. And I'm like the type of person, I'm like, dude, I got a nice life right now. I'm fortunate enough to be working a job that I like truly enjoy with people who I truly like. And there, you can't like really put a price tag on that kind of thing to make me want to, you know, go corporate with it or something like that. So I don't know, man, I'm just like very, very skeptical. All these big name people coming in, want to get in on their shit. I'm like, you didn't earn this. Like, we did. Fuck out of here.
You ever, didn't have all those sound tech issues. Get out of here.
You ever, it was a .com thing from Craigslist. Do you remember this? There was a story about that when Craigslist started getting big. And the creator, because somebody, I don't know who, somebody came out and offered him like a ridiculous amount of money for Craigslist. And the developer just basically said, no. I guess he worked a full-time job as like a DBA for some place. And he was like, no, I make enough money to be happy. I'm not interested. And it was like everybody, like it was all over the news because people were like, how, what? You know, I'm sure the investor was probably like, what? I just offered you enough to never have to work again. And the rest of your family never needs to work again. And just comes back with I'm good. Like everybody is confused and weirded out by that. And it's like, well, maybe the guy just likes developing. I don't know what to tell you.
Wait, so how'd that play out, man? Give me the fast forward so I know if I should keep running my mouth or not.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, I mean, yeah. I don't know. Eventually other ones like took some of the things. Like, now you got Facebook Marketplace and other stuff. So I don't know. It's hard to say, right? If we don't have a Facebook over, like watching over our shoulder, who's developing a better product right now, I think. So I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out.
That's true.
I felt really strongly about that. I'm like, man, it's, It's like, yeah, if somebody comes over and they're like, hey, I'll give you $1 million for this, but you've already made $1 million off your Bitcoin holding. I'm like, I'd hope you'd be more like, well, it would have been enticing if I was starving on the street, but I'm not now, right? Because of my own efforts. So I'm less enticed. I'm not just going to sell out to the first guy who comes over and offers me money because I don't need it.
That is like one of the really interesting things about this space, man. I'm glad you brought that up because I hadn't given that much thought. And that's honestly one of the reasons why I feel extremely comfortable working for Jim and NFT 42 is because you're right. A lot of people are in the type of situation where this is not like their first rodeo. And, you know, I don't have $1 million worth of Bitcoin, but I can also say that this is not my first rodeo either. And I've, you know, had been down career paths, built successful things, and am at the point where I'm doing what I really love and what I really want to do. And that's one of the things I really appreciate about Jim. I'm like, Jim is like a crypto kitty breeder at heart. Like, that's like basically how we got to this point now. Like, Jim got obsessed with breeding crypto kitties and just loved it so much that he decided to, like, you know, build a better mousetrap or whatever of his own and just totally like nerd it out. And like, suddenly it's a business and here we all are. But that's why I'm comfortable with Jim, because I know he loves this shit, like, inside out. You know, it's like a thing he got obsessed with, like, independently of anything else. And that's sort of how I'm here, too. And I get the sense that that's how a lot of us are also here. We found our way here because it just, I don't know, there's probably a lot of bag holders who got stuck, who got, like, rocked in, like, 2017 or 18 and are like, shit, I might as well just stick around and see what happens. But I think a lot of those got weeded out in the market downturn as well. And now, you know, Trisla and I remember talking with you about this at, like, 3 a.m. last year at NFT NYC, how, like, I think the only people who are left are the people who really care. And that's an interesting group of people to build the future with.
Yeah, you only get that when you go through a bear market together, right? Nope, I guess it's just going to zero, so we might as well just hold on to what we got. Because
we're all going down with the ship together, basically. Hey.
No, you brought up a good points, both you, Arizal, and Trislid, and doing what we love and having that passion behind it too. And it's not, you know, who doesn't love money? It's just not all about it. And there's so much value in working with people that you get along with. You know, I've myself have had so many career paths where it's, you don't like either your supervisor or there's just not a connection made, and it could be a toxic one. And what a beautiful thing to have something valuable as loving working with the people that you're with.
Yeah, I've met some of the most creative people I've met a lot of people that I don't know how I would have ever stumbled across them in my normal life before getting involved with the crypto stuff, but like the community, the way of thinking a lot of people have. And yeah, actually, that's a good call out for, it's funny, one guy, he goes by Harley S. He's in Crypto Voxels and does some development
stuff. I know him. Yeah. I actually, like, I knew him way before he, like, started, and when he was just like, hey, should I make crypto art? I'm like, heck yeah, you should. Yeah. And I had gifted him one of my Sheila crypto kitties that I had breeded. So I'm familiar with Harley, yeah.
Well, like, I first met him years ago in Crypto Space Commanders because he was a video gamer and he was a streamer. And I remember because I was starting up a little guild because I'm a Star Trek nerd. So I made that Ferengi guild. And he was like, that's silly. But I was like, I minted a little token so you could do like inner guild trades. And I got it up on OpenSea so you could buy, you know, ship parts off OpenSea with the guild token. So I brought him in on that. And he's like, how the hell did you do this? So then I started showing him with it. And then he got all into it. And now he's, you know, it's allowed him to go off. So now it's like, it's not his full-time job. He's still working normally. But like the crypto side of things has given him enough extra money that, you know, he might have enough for like a down payment for his house that he never would have been able to do on his own. I'm like, here's a guy who just by getting involved and doing more stuff now made him set himself up for a much better place, you know, in real life. And he's you don't have to be a millionaire to be happy.
Yeah, he's a very intelligent guy too, because he always wanted to know the legal aspects of everything that he was doing to make sure that he was not getting in trouble for any copyright issues or anything like that.
Right. Like, y'all aren't getting me arrested.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we didn't want to say it too loud, but yeah. Here they come, Russell.
Do we care about like the controversy with the with the Michelangelo piece or whatever? I don't really care. I was running my mouth about it a little bit. I feel like that's so like par for the course at this point.
A lot of people.
Yeah, I saw some for and above against it. I don't know. I don't have as much of an opinion. I mean, I thought it was an interesting way to get it out, and that's I guess what everybody's into, right? Interesting experiments. It might work. It might not. So it's definitely that.
What's the experiment? Help me out. I just saw like the tiles and I was like, okay.
That was the experiment.
Carved
up the tiles and sold the tiles out. Yeah. You got it.
So there are individual tiles, basically.
Yeah.
I mean,
I guess he just wanted to see like what piece of the actual art was valuable to people. So, you know, the different pieces that were chosen, those were the valuable ones. And I guess that ends up being the ending piece. But there was controversy with it not being his own piece.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's one of those ones where you talk about, because now you're talking about IP and how far off, right? Because then officially, like, whatever the law is, I don't know. Like you can, like if you wanted to make an NFT of the Mona Lisa, there's nobody's going to come over and sue you over it. Cause you know,
right.
It's obviously not the real Mona Lisa. People don't even need to look it up. They know the actual one is hanging in the Louvre and Rizzle didn't just find it in his attic. So
yeah,
just,
Rizzle.
Yeah. So I mean,
dude, someone just minted the Great Gatsby. I think in like, I don't know if it's the entire thing or like individual pages. I'm like, I mean, these are interesting experiments, but I'm also like, I don't know. I'm going to sound like a right click saver or something. I'm like, dude, the Great Gatsby is public domain, dude. You could like pull this up in your browser tab if you really wanted to. And I get that that's not the point, but I'm like, shit, dude, when stuff is in like public domain, like anybody can mint the Great Gatsby then, right? Basically, I don't know what the rules are about like profiting off of it, which is, I assume where like, I don't know, like the Mona Lisa probably has like handlers and an estate that like, you know, make sure nobody's profiting off of it to some like ridiculously large extent, but maybe not. I don't know. All this stuff is like very like fuzzy territory that, you know, I guess I feel like there are valid experiments and everything, but I'm like, why am I going to buy a page of a book that's public domain?
Well, here's a question. Like it maybe, well, the problem now, like now we're talking about gas costs because like, I mean, what's stopping me from getting every book in the public domain and then minting all of them, minting every page and making them live forever on the blockchain, right? Besides the fact that it would cost me a ridiculous amount of money, but I don't think anybody would come to me at me legally for doing that, right? I don't know. Would I be able to sell it though?
Would anybody actually buy it?
Yeah.
No, this is such an interesting conversation because the crypto space is so new, we are basically any laws moving forward, we are technically kind of creating them, you know, these problems. So it would be, I don't know, Mona Lisa versus whatever artist, and we will be creating that case in an essence. Yeah.
No, you're right, Sandy. And, you know, I was thinking about this too. I mean, it's like, you know, once the information is on the blockchain, no matter like who put it there or whatever, like you can basically find it again, right? So what's preventing like the Pirate Bay from eventually migrating to a blockchain, you know, entirely? And then like all that stuff is immutable and, you know, essentially anything on the blockchain becomes almost like public domain. And you're right. Like, does this whole like concept basically destroy copyright laws and something like that? Because even if, you know, it's quote unquote against the law to upload Trizlet's manifesto to the blockchain because he's got it copyrighted and everything, like once I put it there, he might be able to sue me, but it's still there, right? That anybody can access at any time. So I would think like with a lot of like important information in general, that's probably, you know, going to end up on the blockchain, but like, you know, what happens to like historical works and things like that that we've been preserving through our like, you know, janky ways, or, you know, on, are currently living on servers in some library up to this point? Like, does that all end up, you know, eventually on the blockchain for people to be able to access anywhere? And then do we just get rid of libraries and everything? Oh my God. I don't know.
The implications are like
totally different. Get me out of this rabbit hole.
Whoa. The first one who, because that could be really interesting. Yeah, if I put out my autobiography and then Rizzle stole it, and then nobody wanted to buy my thing, but I made tons of money off suing Rizzle for stealing my content, would that be successful project launch? I don't know.
But then what if somebody mints that, but nobody knows the address or, you know, the owner? Then what? Like, who do you sue? Like, just the address? And how do you get them to reply? How do you serve them?
Well, that's the DAO thing, right? Did you see there was something in, I forgot where it was, some state like Wyoming or something that was trying to pass a bill to allow DAOs to have actual, like, treat DAO as an actual legal entity, just like a normal organization, which that could open up all kinds of weird stuff. Yeah, it was like the first thing I saw on Twitter. Everybody's like, okay, everybody's opening a business there then, I guess, because it's like, what happens when you've got a DAO that controls your finances for your company? Right? What happens when you actually do something nefarious, yes, or that you deserve to get screwed for, right?
Yeah.
Plenty of companies are doing stuff that I feel they deserve to get, you know, fined for. So now what? Yeah.
We're unintended stuff too, man. Sometimes you put these things together, you have the best intentions, but then, like, you know, automatically your bio gets minted or whatever because the DAO has said that it should. And I don't know. Then there's the thing, like Sandy said, if an NFT is minted in the wild and nobody is around to see it, does it really have a hash or something? I don't know. All sorts of like weird this implications. Is a
deep rabbit hole.
Does it really exist? Well, I guess in the eyes of the law, does it really exist until somebody buys it, right? As soon as somebody buys it, now there's a change of currency for it. Now it becomes one of those things where it's like, well, who should have gotten that money? Right. That's just like, you can copy anything you want as long as you don't sell it. It's not until you sell it that all of a sudden the legal arm will come down on you, right?
Yeah.
It's no, what's the old video one? You wouldn't steal a car, right? So you wouldn't download a car. Like, if I could download a car, I'd download a car.
I might steal a car if I could download it. Yeah. Right click, save that shit in 2 seconds.
Sweet. Here's my Lambo. Save.
Yeah. Hey. Well, you guys, we are coming towards the end. Any final thoughts before I let the people know what we have this week?
I don't think so. We've covered a lot of stuff. I'm excited to see what the rest of the Token Smart community has to say about it. So make sure
to
talk about it in chat so we can all read.
Yeah. Get me out of this rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the other thing, I just wanted to make an appeal to the people who are listening now. Yes, we're going to do something on Thursday for Valentine's Day. It's going to be like a Valentine's Day event. I don't know if it, and I'm thinking we're going to force people to be couples in the metaverse and fall in love with each other, non like gender specific. So I might have to fall in love with Trizlet and complete this task. And, you know, we'll just see how well the blind date works out. So something like that. So if anyone has any cool like Valentine's Day themed ideas or challenges or tasks that we want to roll into the WIP after party this week, we're currently in the planning phases now and it should be fun. So other than that, lots of awesome stuff coming up. I'll let Sandy drop the lineup on people, but all our stuff has been so cool lately.
That's great.
It has.
Fair warning, I'm not a cheap date though. So
yeah, I want dinner too. Like, I'm with Trislet.
All right, well, I'm hooking you guys up with other people.
Alrighty, guys. So Monday we have fact pieces, and we also have Token Smart Podcast. Shout out to Easy's listening party. Tuesday we have the weekly Avastar giveaway and Dab Dragon Hangouts. Mighty Mai as well. Wednesday, we have the Matthew and Rizzle Show listening party with the awesome Foxy Yoga. And we also have on Thursday, the WIP And we also are going to be having that bro gal romance. We're still thinking about the name too. So if you guys have any ideas, let us know. And then Friday, we have Eclectic Method, the Decentraland Games Casino, Who What Wearable, Netuno and Chill Radio. Saturday, we get an awesome break and a Sunday, Strawberry Sunday, and Sunday Confessions with Magmaster, which I'm proud of all of you, each and every one of you. You guys have been killing it.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Dude, a bonus shout out to Eclectic Method, man. Dude,
yes.
Showed up and was supposed to play a 1 hour set and stuck around for three. And he's just so much fun, man. It's so cool to have like energy like that in our Discord. And I love Netuno, and they've been at a lot of our stuff lately. And I tried to make it on Friday. It's late for me, and it was a long week. And I will make it to one eventually. But big shout out to both of them, man. They've been crushing it.
Dude, big shout out to both of them too. I saw that they're also, helping support each other. I saw Netuno in Eclectic
yep.
in Netuno's. And I like that. I like seeing that. And then Eclectic, he's so hilarious. He was like, can I please play 20 more minutes? 20 minutes pass. Can
Hell
I please
yeah.
play 20 more minutes? I'm like, yes, dude, you can play for 10 hours. And he did it for three. So shout out to you, Eclectic Method. Heck yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome.
So till next time, guys. Meow.
Meow.
Meow. Meow.
Meow. You sound like a little grumpy cat. Meow.